Good morning, everyone. This is the MCO interns. My name is Gone, and I have today Taylor and Beryl.
Hello.
For our Block Talk Radio show. Today, we're really going to discuss about organized planning. So basically, what I know about it, and when I was reading the book, it's like it's just the crystallization of desire into action. And basically, I guess this is the most comprehensive chapter of this book and the key of success. So let's start a discussion. So what you guys think about organization, like organized planning?
So organized planning for me is just taking your ideas and putting them into steps that you're going to take over the next short or long term. And it's basically just sticking to your plan, even though you might experience setbacks. And it emphasizes on the fact that you should always keep your eyes on your goal, because there are setbacks, and most of the time people give up when they're almost succeeding. Taylor?
Oh no, I was just
she was acknowledging
affirming what you were saying. I've had a lot of people in my family that they were just this close, but that it was just always that one setback that put you down. But for one thing that I read was, the one thing that I took away from what I read was that imagination in your organized planning. I feel like he also talks about leadership, and he also talks about planning for failure and planning for your triumphs. But it's the imagination of which he talks about. Like, if you have imagination, you have to have the, not critical thinking, but creative thinking to plan around your failures, and
your
then to plan forward with your triumphs. It's like, if I got this internship, but my car started failing on me out of nowhere, I have to learn to come up creatively with a new solution to plan around my failures. And then once I get to a place where my car starts working again, plan for my triumphs, plan to have my maintenance up to date, plan to be, just have a, he necessarily doesn't believe in backup plans, because he says it's just you thinking about your failure. But that's one thing I had a problem with this book is, I myself am a worrier, and I have anxiety by heart, and by, like, my whole family has anxiety. So I always plan for my failures, but that's just so I can plan for a setback and to go forward. But when I was in the, like, hey, did you feel that way when you were in the first chapter of the book? And he was like, a backup plan is like a plan for you failing. That's like your thought of failing.
I mean, it does make sense.
But
don't you think so?
Because
when you have plan A, plan B, I'll be like, okay,
like
if plan A
safe.
Don't work, I'm just going to go to plan B. But if I have only plan A, I will do my best. I will put all the effort necessary, like, to make sure that plan A is going to work. So that burning desire, I feel like it starts there. You have to make sure that whatever you're going to do, whatever you're trying to do, you're trying to, I mean, sometimes you can fail at, like, succeeding. But, like, I mean, like, you just have to bounce back from it easily and just move forward. But when you have too much plans in your life, okay, if I can go to the States, I can go to Canada. So you make sure that if you cannot go to the States, you know that you're going to go to Canada. If, like, it's either I go to the States or I don't go nowhere, you're going to make sure that you're going to make it to the States. So just a simple example. So, yeah, I'm...
You agree with that?
I'm good with that point. It was very interesting.
The point of just having, like, one central focus and keeping it there. Yeah, that's something that I personally couldn't agree with. Just because, like, I have anxiety, and just, like, you got to have a backup plan. Always, like, I always assume it's not going to work out. I try my best for it to work out. But I always, like, when I had this, when I was applying to this, I was like, if I don't get the internship, I know I have another job to... rely
on.
Yeah.
But I feel like he means not that you don't completely have, like, you just channel your energy on one thing and have, like, a narrow vision. I feel like he means you just have to not divide your energy.
Yeah.
Because if you start dividing your energy, you won't, like, succeed in whatever you're doing first. So, I feel, yeah, that's what I feel. But, like, this book I'm reading, the book Miss Anne gave me last week, it's on...
The E-Myth. It's good.
So, the E-Myth...
Oh, you read it?
Yeah, I read it. The first part.
I'm, like, the second or third chapter.
Amazing.
And it's talking about, like, how small businesses fail. So, like, when you have somebody who, you get somebody into your business, right? You're just starting a small business, right? And then most of the time, some people can't be, not worthy of your time, but like they cheat you into doing something. They steal your money or they do something else, and people are just like, yeah, this is it. Like I can't go on anymore because I've given so much into this business that somebody just comes and in one day everything just goes.
But I feel like that's the hardest part about a small business, because you invest your personal equity. It's not like the startup capital for a small business is very high. I felt bad for people who just tank after like the first year because you literally lose everything. Your personal investments, your personal financial situations are very tied to that business. Like I have a cousin who has her own personal business, and she just, that's all she focuses on because she knows all her personal finances are tied to it.
So, and that's what the book talks about, because you should also read it, because it speaks about how you go to your job, right? And when you start your business, it's like some sort of freedom, but then it kind of makes you a slave to it. You kind of focus all your energy, all your money, and it becomes like a second job and you hate it.
But the thing is the payoff.
So it's like, it's thinking smart around it, and the book kind of shows you how to. I haven't read to the end, so I really don't know much about it yet, but then that's the point they make at the very first time, that you're giving all your energy. Don't make it a second job. You make it something you're planning and consistently growing it, you know? And that's the thing with organized planning. You have to envision it in your head, put it down on paper, and ensure you're following these steps, even though you get setbacks, like somebody steals your money and you have to go back and you have to downgrade and stuff like that. But if you see the big companies, like Tesla is now making so much, we're in the stock market game.
Oh, their stock went up like $200 within 3 days.
Just think of when they started. Elon Musk almost went bankrupt before NASA gave him the contract for the things. So it's a lot of risk.
But the reward is great.
Yes, exactly. But the thing is, you have to, I feel this is a chapter when you should read when you're like really down, to give you like the hope to move forward, because that's the thing. Hope is that fickle thing that makes you push on even though you're like down to your face and down to everything, because this is something I've experienced when you're giving your all. I tried getting scholarships for
it
3 years after
hard.
After high school, and the first year was like, I'm giving it my all, right? I'm giving it my all. Let me apply to schools outside my country because I wanted to do something that wasn't being offered well in my country. So I gave my all. I gave everything. I used money. I spent money on it. And then there was acceptance to school, but rejection of scholarship. So I crashed. I actually got depressed, clinically depressed. And then this is why it's always important to have critics around you. Like everyone in my family was like, oh, you're okay, you're doing something good still in school and you're doing everything, your life is moving on, right? But it's not like something I wanted to do. It's I had the urge to like leave, you know. And then somebody made like a very hurtful comment, and that gave me the fire to continue.
What was the comment?
If you're comfortable.
I'll tell you offline. It was really painful, and I remember crying for like a whole week, and then after that it was me doing this to show this person that this is not what this means, that they can't belittle me like that. Like, I've spent a lot, I am brilliant, and it contradicts what they're saying, right? So it's like, when you're that low, when you feel like you have no strength at all, you have to have the hope to rise up and continue with your plans, because you planned them, and we don't see all the obstacles we face, and sometimes you can belittle them and say, well, if it comes, well, we'll just sit down and we'll think about something else and we'll pray about it or something, but then if you're really intent on achieving what you're getting, you will achieve it. So the second year I tried again, and it was it was funny because I didn't tell anybody, and I applied to so many schools, and all of them came back like, we've accepted you, but no scholarships at all. This was like, God, is this a joke? And then the third year, I was just like, yeah, let me just do it.
But getting in itself is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
That I feel like you should recognize.
Yeah, I feel.
And there's no success without failure. You gotta start somewhere.
It's easy to say.
That's but what, it's that's hard to come.
It's easy to say. Like, you just say, like, I'll do this, I'll feel like this. Like, I watched some documentary on homeless people, mm-hmm. and one person was like, you're really told that you can get out of everything, right?
You can.
And for him,
it's
you
very
can.
Hard.
Yes. The thing with this chapter is that it's telling you to plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
And although you can't feel, it's very hard to plan for something you haven't felt yet.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So it kind of, so when I read the chapter, my mind was on my lowest moment
mm-hmm.
so far, because people assume it's a lot. It's easy to say, but it's very hard to get through. So it kind of put me in that moment of like despair, like nothing can help me right now, nothing can make me feel better. And then you have to go back to what you planned.
But one thing I also noticed in this book that relates to what you said is
mm-hmm.
that although he does speak about organized planning, he also wants you to create an outline of your personal inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants you to do your resume.
Mm-hmm.
When he talks about his resume, he wants you to outline all your experiences, all your accomplishments,
mm-hmm.
all your the value that you can bring. He wants you to outline everything for your business. And your business doesn't necessarily have to be an actual business, but you yourself are a business. You are a corporation. You take in, you bring out, and you make something every
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants you to outline yourself. Like, let me look back in it. He wants you to outline your services.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to acknowledge your leadership. He wants you to acknowledge your failures and your triumphs. So I feel like in this book, or what you were doing, or lack of, you have to just outline you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's crazy. He wants you to just outline yourself, like, tomorrow, not tomorrow, but one day, all of us to just outline everything that we can do,
mm-hmm.
which is your services,
mm-hmm.
outline all your leadership capabilities,
mm-hmm.
outline all your failures, outline, and when I say outline, I mean note or write down, outline all
mm-hmm.
your failures,
mm-hmm.
your triumphs, outline what low-key makes you a business, and plan around that. So if I outline, for me, say I outline all my schooling, all the work experience I've had, and all the things that I can do according to my major, which is accounting,
mm-hmm.
then I can plan to go to, then I can take what I have and make a plan to apply to certain internships, go to such and such schools, take such and such classes. So once I can have a mental inventory of myself, then I can plan and go forward. And that's what I got from this book
mm-hmm.
or in this second. So like when you were applying to schools in the States, being in Africa, if you took a mental inventory of everything that you can do and the value that you have,
mm-hmm.
then you probably, if you had this book in time, you probably wouldn't have gone through such a depression, because
mm-hmm.
you probably would have had an outline or an inventory of what you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So when they told you, oh, you can't get this internship, you know that, all right, I know what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I know my value. I know myself as a business in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could have pushed forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like everything comes to you at a certain time.
Do you
to
guys
learn.
Have a muscle man group?
A muscle man group?
A muscle mind group?
Mastermind group?
No, not yet. So,
but if you talk about it in this chapter, though. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to close
in
that.
In this chapter, there's the master.
No. I said, like, in one part, he explained that you must work with others
mm-hmm.
that are interested in seeing your plan coming into action.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
mm-hmm.
I cannot be surrounded with people that want to see me fail
mm-hmm.
or people who are not, like, for example, let's say Taylor want to see me succeed and
mm-hmm.
I know she's doing her best on her on her side to move forward in her life. But let's say someone else is doing the opposite. I cannot be saying I want to go exactly. I cannot be around the wrong person. So basically he said like in the chapter, you must work with others that are interested into seeing the plan, your plan come into
so all your family members, he was like, they took your setback and was like, you can still do this and this and this. Those were your people. That was, I think one more he said was cooperation or company. That was your company, that was your uplifting company. That was somebody who saw your setback and was like, all right, whatever, period. And then it was like, all right, you can't do this, but you can do 5 million other things. But for that one person to dog you like that, sad.
So he just wants you to have a collective mind. Because sometimes someone can go through the same thing before you and can help you find a way.
Oh, that's the thing. That's the thing I have a problem with. Like, if you sit down and I tell you, this is what I did to not get depressed. So you shouldn't get depressed. I feel like you feeling it is... That's why people say, like, experience is the best teacher, right?
Yes, of course.
Once I feel it, once I go through all that trouble, then I'd know. But me just telling you would not, like, make such an impact as you really going through it.
And then, you know, the saying, misery love company. So that person who probably dogged you is probably going through something 10 times worse.
Oh, but my young mind would not think that. Because, you know, I had been succeeding, you know, on my education, my academics, right? And then here's a first rejection. And I'm like, how do I deal with this? And I feel African customs are not like, oh, you're depressed, you need to go to a doctor,
no,
right?
They don't have time for that. No. You better go to your room and walk outside and try to figure out. Yeah, work it out. Yeah.
Oh, no, so that's in African-American culture. It's the same thing. Oh. It's only... Yeah. There is certain people who are starting to come around to mental to mental health. But I know personally for my dad, he works in DCF. So he has a lot of, like, bad parents who kind of, like, give depression or mental health problems a bad name. Like, certain mothers who are just bad mothers and bad people in general say, oh, I'm depressed. That's why I did all of this. So to him, when he hears about depression, he thinks it's just like a he's like a scapegoat. So when I was depressed my senior year of high school, I've always been depressed, but when it came to its like peak in senior high school and I told him I was depressed, he didn't believe me. He was like, oh, you're just
going through stuff, you'll get over it.
My mom would not even listen. I'm depressed. She's like, you're not paying no bill. That's what they say.
Exactly. Like, who are you taking care of?
There's so many things to stress. Why are you depressed for? You better walk outside, go to you see. So you don't have that bound that you need. Instead of them sitting down talking to you, trying to figure out, no, you just have. It's like they act like you just being like rude or like acting like a child. And sometimes not the case. Sometimes you're going through really serious life situations. But like the fact that you know that they're not going to help, you try to figure out everything by your own. I mean, sometimes good, sometimes it's complicated, but sometimes you can go into, like you say, other people. Like some people
like
can,
a dark corner that you can't really just, get out of by yourself.
You can be suicidal. You never know, but they don't care. So
but I feel like I didn't have like whatever resources you can find here, but I feel like the friends around me didn't belittle it. So kind of like one person got me. I'm a very private person, so like one person, only one person knew. I talked to my mom every day, but she didn't even know. So
my mom told me she could tell. Because with me is like I'm a naturally talkative person.
But she sees me every day. Exactly.
So when
so
I come
if
home,
she can see you every day. She knows.
So when I come home and I don't speak,
she knows.
She can tell. She can tell something's wrong with me, but. Most of the time, she was like, you kind of work yourself out of whatever corner you're in. So she leaves me alone. Because for me, it's like, when I get to that spot, I just want to be in a bubble. I just like, I'm finna get out. It's gonna take me a minute to get out of the bubble. But just like, ugh, no. That feeling stuff.
I grew up like that. You say you're a private person, but I'm so like, I'm the same thing. You will never see me working out of campus with people. Even... They better be my cousin or my little brother.
Right.
Exactly. And that's true. I've been there for 5 years. I don't even know more than 10 people.
When I moved to FIU, my friends were like, you don't know anyone here. And I was like, I know people. I just like...
And I do live on campus.
I live on campus and it's just like... You keep
I can say month without... When I see my room, I say hi. That's it. I don't have a chat with her. I don't sit down with her. I met her outside. I say hi to her. That's it. I can't even, you know, it's unbelievable. Because I go with that mindset, I just have to be by myself.
Yeah.
But I feel like as long as you keep yourself around, like he says, positive company.
I mean, yeah, that's a good thing.
That's true, yeah. But I feel like, for me, I feel like I know everybody, not like name, but like faces. I know everyone and what they do.
And they know
but
it.
I just like, don't Barrel. Really, I'm not like really interested so much in their life to like strike a conversation.
I just get too much, for me, it's always like my roommates were like, you don't really know people. And I was like, I go to work. Like, I go to school
and
I work full time.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway.
All right.
Well. Organized planning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we always get off topic.
We get off topic.
I forgot
what
was Well, leadership.
Planning.
All
right. And
so,
entering,
leadership and all that mess. Well, I
think it's like just the crystallization of desire into action.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's just taking the time.
And
to outline your value, what you can bring to the table, and getting everything ready for that document-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have all that, then you can make a plan to
achieve it. Yeah.
Once you know what you're selling, once you know how you're going to sell it, and all the logistics in that, then you can just make it into one compact business plan and then go on about your day.
And so basically, he talked about persistence, I guess, is the eighth step of wishes, eighth step.
Yeah,
and you should be applied. Exactly. You have to persist. You have,
related.
But yeah,
I feel like we should
consistent.
All make a little business plan for ourselves.
I did for my capstone class.
Yeah, but a business plan like where you're the business.
I did that for the past month. Yeah, I did that like for my capstone class in March.
Because, you know, I hate writing on things because
but I
feel like
for,
somebody
like,
would read it and read my mind.
Oh
so,
my
and then I realized, I realized the importance of writing it down. Because I'd forget it and then I see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
I
like
have
you have to write
memory.
Down your plans and read it out loud.
Yeah.
And make sure that whatever you're reading is happening.
After I read that
you
chapter,
have to believe in it.
I have like, I made it like in our phone, we have notes. So that's what I started keeping it. Like, for me, one of my plans is to get an intern, a true accounting internship. So. So I made the plan to like re up my resume to make myself look a lot more valuable, or to find internships that solely base themselves on account, like an accounting firm internship.
Yep. Oh, okay.
So, like, to base myself on an accounting firm internship, and to do so, I need a better car. So I've been working to get my credit up, to start saving more money, to, like, I've had a plan, like, put $50, $70 off every paycheck. But the thing about me and saving is, if I can touch it, it's gone. if it doesn't go to the bill, it's gone. I was spending on some hair, some nails, some clothes, it's gone. But no, it's just, after reading this book, I have been working on myself. I've been being more positive and more kind to myself. I've also, at the same time, being more critical to myself. I don't know, it's a blessing in disguise, this book is, even though it's harder for me to read because it is
like
nonfiction.
A reflection. It's like
yeah
a
it
mirror.
Makes you like sometimes
see all the tiny details.
Yeah, like sometimes I'll be sitting in my car and reading and I kind of drift off into like, he'll talk about some things we do wrong for ourselves, and I just sit in the car thinking for like 15 minutes, yeah, I really gotta stop doing that.
Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you. We'll be back next Monday
for another episode.
For another blog talk episode on chapter 7.
Yes.
Sorry we got off topic.